Finally, an opportunity to talk about this Four Seasons thing. I've been waiting since Saturday to get to this. Jimmy Kimmel said, "This is the second most embarrassing thing to happen to Rudy this month. Somehow he managed to out-Borat himself." Colbert said, "One theory is that someone in the campaign mistook the venue for a luxury hotel. Embarrassing, but not the first time something like this has happened. After all, who can forget when FDR, Stalin, and Churchill met at the Yalta Discount Toilet Emporium?" Seth Meyer said, "It's like if Trump announced he was holding a big rally at the Lincoln Memorial, deleted it, then announced he was holding a big rally at a Lincoln dealership." Jimmy Fallon said the press conference was located next to a sex shop at a crematorium. Honestly, that's about where you'd expect Giuliani to have a law office. Fallon said, "When Rudy walked into Four Seasons Landscaping, everybody was like, the sex shop is won over." Seth Meyers said, "That's right. They held a press conference at a landscaping company next to an adult bookstore and a cremation center. So it was one-stop shopping for Rudy." Seth said the only thing missing from the scene was a store called Metaphors R Us. Colbert said, "Makes sense. The Trump campaign is somewhere between screwed and dead." Colbert said, "Now, how this happened is unclear. My guess? Incompetence." Kimmel, "And this visually should tell you all you need to know about how it's going, okay? A big ugly garage door, a cement wall, a garden hose, and an adult novelty shop right next door with booths and everything. This is Rudy Giuliani at his Rudiest." Colbert said, "Although it's possible Giuliani goes there all the time, I wouldn't be surprised if his dentist requires landscaping tools." And Colbert with three rapid fires. One, looks like a Storage Wars episode hosted by the Crypt Keeper. Two, it looks like the dedication of a new performing arts center at Chernobyl. And finally, looks like the Penguin announcing layoffs to his henchmen. The Guardian got in on this. They quoted Zach Bornstein, who's a TV writer who wrote on Twitter, "I could write jokes for 800 years and I'd never think of something funnier than Trump booking the Four Seasons for his big presser and it turning out to be the Four Seasons total landscaping parking lot between a dildo store and a crematorium." Author Geraldine DeReuter commented, "The real hero today is whoever answered the phone at Four Seasons Landscaping and offered no clarification whatsoever until it was too late. I salute you, my fellow patriots." And journalist Maggie Sirota said, "I will watch an 11-part Ken Burns documentary on the Four Seasons Landscaping story." They have also, they being, I don't know, people, they have created a virtual reality club for furries. So if you are into that scene, you can now hang out at Four Seasons Total Landscaping. And there are, of course, Zoom backgrounds. So if you're bored, switch your background to Four Seasons Total Landscaping. On Tuesday, Vice President Pence was planning on having a meeting about the coronavirus. Michael Ian Black asked, will he be discussing it or spreading it? And some more from the late night show. Stephen Colbert said, "Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden did it. Finally, after 4 years, Americans can exhale. Unless you're near other people, then please don't because of the pandemic. Sadly, the president doesn't want to admit that it's over, but it's over. And when he leaves, do you know what I'm looking forward to? Sleep, but also the possibility that for the first time in 4 years, we'll be able to shift our collective focus away from him onto anything else. Maybe each other. Wouldn't that be nice? Also, I'm looking forward to possibly people being nicer, including me. The president's only emotions are angry, look at me, and I'm angry you're not looking at me. And because he was the only thing we were focused on for the last 4 years, and this is entirely my responsibility," said Colbert, "I've done harsher jokes than I've ever done in my entire life. This is why they say don't wrestle with a pig, because you'll get both filthy and the pig likes it. And also, your pig impression really hasn't gotten better in the last 4 years." Seth Meyers said, "Welcome to late night." And then said, "Sorry, Wally, is that the only thing on the cue card? Oh, I guess we were over-reliant on him." Seth told a story about Biden, who was the second guest on Seth's first show, and the Amtrak merch Biden gifted him, including a whistle that Myers plays for his kids every night. He says, "Every day that I look at it, I think about Joe Biden, and I also think about Donald Trump because these last 4 years have totally blown. Hey, now." Everybody's like, "What are you going to do if he loses? Whistle bits, duh." All right, metalinjection.com, which is your home for comedy news, as you know, caught up with Joe List, and they said, "Hey, Joe List, who did you discover first, Guns N' Roses or Pearl Jam? This is random." Joe List said, "I definitely discovered Guns N' Roses first. I remember having the Appetite for Destruction cassette, and my cousins and I all got CD players and Use Your Illusion 1 and 2 for Christmas the year it came out. I was a little late discovering Pearl Jam. It wasn't until Verses had been out for a few weeks that I started listening to them. I was hearing about music from my uncle and cousins at that point, and they were much more into Guns N' Roses and Poison." So metalinjection.com said, "What was it about Guns N' Roses that first caught your attention?" Joe List said, GNR just seems so effing cool. I think the naked woman in the liner notes was big for me. That got me excited. The little cartoon skeletons were fun. At that time and age, anything anyone older than you said was cool, but of course the music just kicked butt. Once I started listening, I was hooked. The only music I knew before them was Don McLean and Billy Joel and maybe Madonna and Michael Jackson, of course. And I still like all those artists, but Guns N' Roses was just so much cooler and better than me. That was the first music I heard that really rocked and screamed new and cool to me. So, of course, MetalInjection.com said, what about Pearl Jam? And Joe List said, Pearl Jam was similar. They were new and cool. And the second album artwork was appealing. Hearing Rearview Mirror for the first time really blew me away. That album was amazing to me. Then I went back and started getting really into 10 as well. I was and remain obsessed. Kevin Hart's got another special coming out. It'll be out on November 17th. It is titled Kevin Hart 0F**KS Given. My advertisers preferring not to say that word. So Kevin Hart 0F's Given, November 17th on Netflix. A Netflix suit in a statement, and you know I think these are always lame, said, supposedly, Kevin Hart serves up laughs and brick oven pizza from the comfort of his home and dishes on male group chats, sex after 40, and life with COVID-19. The special was filmed in September of this year in LA. That was a month after Hart revealed he had tested positive for COVID-19 early in the pandemic. Also on your Netflix, today you will find Australian comedy group Auntie Donna, and their special is called Big Ol' House of Fun. It's a 6-part sketch series, Auntie Donna's Big Ol' House of Fun, and the gang there take viewers along for an absurdist adventure through their everyday lives. Come on inside if you're prepared to handle satire, parody, clever wordplay, breakout musical numbers, and much more. I would check this out, except my Xbox has arrived, and the PlayStation comes tomorrow. I'm going to be busy. You're going to have to really bring it, Netflix, but I do want to check that out. And I will leave you with this, and I'm not being a smartass here. I just saw this story, and it touched me. This is from newzimbabwe.com. I won't even do my usual joke there. Popular veteran comedian Lazarus Boura, popularly known as Gringo, has died. He was 47. Gringo died Monday morning. He was battling intestine obstruction, discomfort in sitting, backache, coupled by hearing and talking difficulties. A father of 7, Gringo made his debut in 1997. He was the main actor on a TV show called Gringo Troublemaker in 2013. Last year, he underwent an operation for an appendix rupture. And the article says, however, Gringo has been struggling to meet his medical bills, and he blamed piracy for his financial misfortunes. He said, if it weren't for piracy with Gringo Troublemaker, I would have made enough to cover my own medical bills. That story, I don't know, it just touched me. I'd never heard of this guy. I'm not familiar with his work. I'm not familiar with Gringo Troublemaker. But wow, appendix rupture, and he has passed away at age 47. So now that I've brought you down, let me wrap up the show. That's today's comedy news. Subscribe on Apple and follow on Spotify, and come back tomorrow. I'll bum you out again.